Welcome back to the Mañana No Mas podcast, everybody. This episode, I am thrilled to bring a brand new guest to the Mañana No Mas podcast. Folks, I met Nick through LinkedIn, I don't know, 10 days, 14 days ago, something like that. We ended up having a great conversation. And as those conversations sometimes do, they turn into these podcast conversations where we get to bring you in to the conversation and give you a view of what we're talking about. Now, I'd like to give you a background on Nick. I typically don't read these kinds of things word for word, but he gave me some great details here. So bear with me. I'm going to read this. Nick Lutrick is the co-founder and chief executive officer of TaskOn, a company with a simple mission to give people more time in their day so they can focus on what truly matters. TaskOn provides a platform that allows busy professionals to delegate mission-critical tasks to a specialized team of assistants who are fully hired, trained, and managed by TaskOn. Prior to founding TaskOn, Nick spent over a decade in various roles, leading to strategic initiatives with a long focus on process improvement, project and product management, automation, operational efficiency, and change management. He holds dual master's degrees in accounting and business administration, as well as multiple professional certifications. And in his free time, he enjoys spending time with his family, traveling, playing guitar, reading, and being a lifelong learner. Now, part of why I wanted to read that and part of why I wanted to bring Nick to the show to share with you guys today is as I spoke to Nick, I realized this is more than hiring a VA. This is more than going on Fiverr and bringing on somebody for a short project. This is more than, you know, going to my guy in India and having something handled. So I wanted to bring Nick on, let him introduce himself, kind of what he does, and then maybe have a conversation that evolves into what he's really providing in this package. Nick, welcome to the show, man. I'm glad you could make the time to be here.
Thanks, Kurt. Glad to be here. Yeah, and as you were reading that, I feel like maybe that was a little wordy, so I may have to edit that down for future reference, but I really appreciate that.
No worries. I remember the first time that somebody actually read my intro, because you know, you write these things out, and he was reading my intro, and I was just like, wow, I didn't realize I sounded like that. So I was like, ah, man, maybe I should do things more on the fly. But the intro, the reason I read that one is because you cover so many things, right? So when you and I were having that conversation, it was like, well, it's not just a VA thing. Like typically if I run an agency, I run a WordPress agency, and sometimes I bring contractors in to help me with things. And it's always that conversation I have to have with myself of, do I want to spend the time to draft the kind of like the position, the project, figure out how I'm going to onboard them and train them and get them up to speed? And will the work they perform absorb the amount of budget that I have to, you know what I mean? If I got to spend all that time and energy to train them, I'm losing time and productivity to do that. And then they do the job. At the end of that, am I still profitable? That seems to be like kind of like the pathway. And then you and I were talking and you're like, yeah, but I onboard people and I train people and you know, because you act like almost like the middle person that bridges that gap. And I found that pretty interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's the main challenge with the industry is, yeah, it's great. You can find really high quality talent for a good cost overseas, but then you have to go find them. You have to train them. You have to manage them. And that alone can be a full-time job. And so really what we do is we're kind of the administrative orchestration layer between the businesses and the workers, kind of that filter in between so that you can focus on what you do best. They can focus on what they do best. And you don't have to worry about all of the other things that come along with leading a team.
Yeah. I think about, Chris Badgett, he's kind of famous in the WordPress learning space with Lifter LMS, and he'll talk about people wearing five hats. You know, he's like, well, being a course creator is a five hat job, man. You know, you got to be a web person, you got to be a salesperson, you got to do content development, you know, and all that stuff. And then, so to truly, you know, break through that glass ceiling, you have to figure out, well, which hats can I give away? Which hats can I put onto somebody so that I can focus on the one or two that really are my sweet spots, you know? Let's go back to the beginning, Nick. Try and give me kind of a Just give me like the update of you, like how, who are you? How did you come up in the, you know, through the business management stuff that you were in before, and what kind of led to this evolution of doing what you're doing now?
Yeah, absolutely. So like you read in that awesome biography earlier, I got my degree in accounting. I thought I was going to be a CPA. And so my first job out of college was as an accountant. But come to find out, it really wasn't accounting. It was really on the payroll, timekeeping, HR side of things for a really large defense contractor. And so that really kind of sucked me into to a new career path that I didn't really plan on, and really just stuck it out there. And over the years, I was promoted into various additional roles. But really where my strengths lie is around taking something that's really complex and simplifying it. And so I found myself working on a lot of process improvement initiatives and project management type work, and really just trying to find ways to streamline operations within these really large corporations. And I loved it for so many years, but I think there just came a point where I was starting to get burned out by the grind of constantly trying to climb the ladder and constantly working on these large projects and really not seeing an end in sight for me. And so that led me to kind of explore other opportunities. A dream of mine has always been to own my own company. I knew that was something that I was always going to do. And really, you know, the pandemic was a big catalyst of all of this. I think it was for a lot of people, you know, where you really had a chance to sit back and reevaluate, what am I doing with my life? Is this the trajectory that I want to continue on? And for me, I just decided, no, I think if I'm ever going to do it, there's no time like now. And so let's just go ahead and take the plunge and go out on my own. And so as I was exploring, you know, opportunities and what made sense, you know, I was really just thinking back to all of my experience working. So I worked with some small business owners throughout a portion of my career, and all of them kind of mentioned the same thing, which is we wear so many hats. You know, half the time I don't even know what's going on because we're so busy. I never finish my to-do list. And so when my wife and I sat down to start the company, we thought, well, how can we help business owners get more time back in their day so that they can focus on what matters? And that's ultimately what led to TaskOn.
You know, and you you know, like when you say what matters, my brain just fires off, like all the synapses just go crazy, right? I work with a lot of power sports dealers, and I do some business training in the power sports arena, especially in fixed operations, right? So I focus on, like, sales is variable operations, and then everything that's not sales is called fixed operations. That's how, you know, motorcycle and car dealerships work. And what you said earlier about you wear so many hats, you're stuck in the business, you don't really see what's going on. I'll talk to a dealer owner and they'll be like, oh, man, we're just so busy. We're just so busy right now, you know? And I'm going, okay, yeah, I get that you feel busy. Right. And then you start looking, let's take a look at some of your numbers here real quick, you know, and you're like, okay, so your shop's running at 52% efficiency, you know, you're so many lines per RO, so many hours per RO. And you start going through some of those key performance indicators and you go, man, you could literally triple your revenue and not have to work an extra hour per week. Like you're so immersed in the nonsense that you haven't taken hold of your business. Your business has really taken hold of you, you know? And when you can come in as a third party person and kind of like extricate the principle from the nonsense, you're able to kind of show them. And it's amazing to me because, like, I've had people say, oh no, we're too busy for training or we're too busy for this. And I go, but if you're only 52% efficient, what if you could do 75% at the same time? What if you could do 80% at the same time? What would that do to your revenue? You know, if your business is doing $1.2 million a year in revenue, but you're only 52% effective, you know, what does that equal at 75% in revenue? You know, and so you start playing those numbers games. And it's really interesting to me when you free somebody up and you give them those opportunities and how that the gross result of the effort, right? So somebody might pay you 30, 40, 50, 60 bucks an hour for some kind of service, but hopefully the goal is they're going to 5 or 10x that investment on the back end.
Absolutely. Yeah, you started throwing out numbers, and you know, I'm a numbers guy with my accounting degree, and one of the ways that I like to describe it is, well, because one of the challenges that a lot of leaders have is they don't want to delegate it because the person's not going to do as good of a job as they would do. And my argument is, well, let's say that it's only 80% as good as you would have done. 80% is a lot better than 0%, which is oftentimes what you find yourself doing because you have too many things on your to-do list and you can't even get to it. And so I think whenever you can shift the mindset a little bit like that, then it gets people thinking about it in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious, as the businesses evolve and grow, their demands change and stuff like that. So that's an obvious, but let's talk about like what your normal process or interaction is with a business. I'm imagining it's kind of like reluctance. And then it's kind of like, I'm not sure if I want to do this. And then it's probably like, I can't believe I didn't do this 5 years earlier.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty interesting as we onboard new clients because, and I recommend that we start this way. We start off slow. Let's kind of establish some trust in the relationship a little bit and prove that we can handle things to their expectations. And so we'll normally start off slow. You know, what are the things that they just really don't enjoy doing? But then it only takes a few days normally before they're like, oh, wow. Okay. That's actually really good. Let me give you more stuff. And so there's, you know, over the first 90 days, it's kind of a steady progression of them giving us more things to do. And we can talk a little bit more about what that is specifically later on. And then you're right. It gets to a point where we're pretty much doing most of the back end work of the company. And then we're not even, you know, we're not even communicating as often because there's so much trust that was built in the early part of the relationship that they just, you know, they're giving us work. We're returning the deliverables. And, you know, unless there's any specific feedback, we're just, you know, we're working as a team at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I'm just going to throw it out there because everyone else is. I know that AI is like this big thing. Everyone thinks AI is going to be this next big, you know, windfall of opportunity. And I work in the web space and I have a lot of AI tools that I use myself, but I'm also finding that at no level does AI replace a human being. So it might be a great seed to start an article or a great, you know, find me the right title for SEO purposes or something like that. But I'm still finding that the human touch is the most valuable thing that we can put into business. Is that kind of where you're seeing things?
Yeah, absolutely. So AI is a big component of what we do. We're heavy utilizers of AI tools already, and we want to be at the forefront of that movement. But I 100% agree, and this is how I coach my team as well, which is the AI is not going to replace our work. It's only going to allow us to potentially 10x our work. But you're right. If you have an AI tool generate something that you're not familiar with, you're probably going to shoot yourself in the foot because it's going to give you some nonsense a lot of times. And so it's really another tool, just like anything else. I'm sure, you know, back in the late 90s when Google came out, it was the same thing. They're like, oh my goodness, it's going to revolutionize. No, it's just another tool. You still have to put your human touch on it in order to deliver the finished product. But I do think that it is still greatly underutilized, especially for some of those starting points, like you mentioned. It can give you a really, really great starting point. And a lot of times that's the hardest part because people get writer's block or, you know, it's just like, oh, it's too much. I'll do it tomorrow. And then they never get to it. AI tools really help you overcome that writer's block and get you going on something. And then once you have the momentum, well, then it's a lot easier to see it through.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. So if I'm thinking about TaskOn as a company, you tell us, like, what are the most common work items, the most common tasks that you guys get at TaskOn?
Great question. I actually made a little list here before the interview to make sure that I hit all of them. Now, I think there's kind of like five key areas. And so first is around technology, you know, web automation. I think that is really where our strengths lie, given my background and the background of our team members. And there's so many great tools available today. But as a small business owner or another leader, you know, it could be overwhelming to go out and figure out, okay, what is the best tool for this particular item? And so we do a lot of work of just helping to identify the right tools, get it set up, and get it going. So that's probably our number one. Second, definitely is social media and marketing. So everybody wants to be on social media. I'm finding, you know, it's probably about 50-50 of the people that actually want to be on. So, you know they need to be on social media, but it's a lot of work. Yeah. And it can be kind of a black hole. You don't know what's going to work. What should my content be? What should the frequency be? What tools should I use? And so luckily we have expertise in that area and we can really guide clients on the best approach and do that work for them. Then third is sales and lead generation. So we are, you know, we work with multiple lead generation tools. And so we can help, you know, draft an outreach campaign and do some of that initial follow-up, kind of some of the basic communication. And then once a prospect is identified, then we can turn it over to the business owner so that they can then carry them through the rest of the process. And then the last two, just to kind of wrap it up, is kind of just more of the general administrative stuff that you think about. So, you know, bookkeeping or inbox and calendar management or other operational items that just need to be done in the course of business.
Yeah. Yeah. I think about one of those items that you had mentioned, and I think about kind of its ties to my other industries that I work in. Right. And in dealership talk, it's called BDC, Business Development Center. Mm-hmm. Right. But you were talking about like lead management and stuff like that. And it's so crazy. So let's say you're a salesperson at a car dealership, right? Salespeople, and I don't know if you say it's a lack of intelligence, a lack of work ethic, laziness, lack of energy. I don't know how you phrase this, but the system provides the system. The system could be cold calls, could be email blasts, could be direct mail, could be a lead page on a website. So whatever, right? So there's leads and the leads come in. And then when you look at the actual numbers for salespeople on a floor, right? So motorcycle, car, boats, RVs, whatever, the percentage of leads that go unanswered and untouched is mind-boggling. Because in my mind, I can't help but think about this. And a great friend of mine, Joe Irabaran, works in this field. So I'm kind of familiar with this. He has Go Beyond Creative as a company. And with his Dealer Lead Pro program, it really is about everybody gets that first initial follow-up on the lead, right? So it's almost like there's at least that first contact that off the lead before we let the salespeople drop the ball. But you know, you gotta get that point of entry in. You have experience in all kinds of businesses outside of my categories. What are you seeing as far as business owners and lead management? Because I'm real curious to know if that is a consistent thing that goes across business lines or if that's unique to, you know, big asset sales.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. And it amazes me because to get the lead in the first place is so difficult. It's like you've already done the hard part. Just get on the phone. And even myself, you know, cold calling is not my forte. I don't enjoy it. And so, you know, but give me a lead that I know is interested. I'm on the phone right away. And now we're just solving a problem. It's easy at that point. And so I would say, no, I mean, there are similar challenges across all businesses. And I feel like the reason is that a lot of small business owners aren't salespeople by nature, you know? So it's also something that they avoid because it's not their strength. Yet, as I found personally, sales is the most important function in your business, because if you don't sell, then you have nothing to operate. And so, you know, that was a key learning for me early on, was how important it is. And so, yeah, so I think being able to just take off the edge a little bit of the sales process and help them at least get some interested leads in the door, I found that that's really helped them then, you know, kind of help get them across the finish line.
Yeah. And I'm just asking, I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but I imagine you track cost of acquisition then, right? So if the, especially God, you're an accountant and I'm asking you these questions. So if there's cost of acquisition, if there was a bunch of leads being not followed up on previously, and now the leads are being followed up at a higher rate, I assume the cost of acquisition per client begins to go down, which increases margins and profitability.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, and that's something, you know, we don't just want to do a service just for the sake of doing a service and doing work. We want to tie it back to the goals of the business and show how we are impacting the KPIs that matter to them. And it's different, you know, for different industries and different types of businesses. You know, we work with a lot of churches as well. And so, you know, they're not as, you know, interested in customer acquisition costs or anything like that. But they do have goals, which is membership growth, or engagement or donations, things like that. So that's one of the early things that we do is identify, or what are your top priorities? What are the goals that you're looking to impact? And then how can we prove that we're helping on that front?
What you just described is like the main reason I didn't become a pastor.
Exactly. Yeah.
I can't look at a congregation and not think to myself, you know, well, if we filled so many more seats and each family had two kids and they each gave this percentage of tithe, you know, how many new buildings would we build in a year? Like that is not, to me, that's shouldn't be the proper inspiration to run a church. Right. So I can't help but my business mind takes over. And so I was like, no, I'd be a good volunteer, but I don't think I'd be a good pastor. I'd be up on the pulpit selling.
But I don't want to take us too far down that rabbit hole, but I mean, that's been my experience as well. I mean, pastors aren't really, you know, they're not, if they wanted to be in business, they would be in business, but a church has to kind of run like a business in order to sustain itself.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in that industry, we find that, you know, our service really fits well because they need to do a lot of these business type things. And that's just not their strength at all. And so it's, you know, our value proposition to them is, again, how can we help you focus more on what actually matters to you, which is pastoring people, not, you know, creating a PDF form for the next event.
Yeah, that's totally cool. I'm just going to hit you with one that occurred to me. What is and you don't name them by names, but like, what's like the most entertaining thing that came to you? Like someone said, oh, I need help with something. And you were like, really?
There is one example that comes to mind, but I can't mention it because that person will know automatically who I'm talking about. But, you know, I mean, it's kind of interesting. I mean, we, you know, a lot of our services are business to business, but we'll help out on the personal side as well. So we've ordered flowers for, you know, a wife, for example. We've, you know, we've kind of taken on some personal assistant responsibilities. And that's always interesting because, you know, you don't want to, if I mess, maybe I'm being too honest here. It's like, okay, if I mess up a process, there's a little bit of grace that I'm given because mistakes happen in business, you know, no matter who you are. But if you mess up the flower order for Mother's Day, I think then the consequences are a little bit more real for everyone involved. And so,
yeah,
you know, there's definitely some interesting requests that come in that regard.
I can't help but think about the things that I hate doing as a person, right? And to your point, it's like, man, I would love to have someone, you know, go to the bank for me and have to deal with the teller. I would love to have, you know, somebody negotiate my next car lease, you know, for me. I would love to have, you know, those kinds of things. And I guess, you know, you can read the 4-hour work week and you can look at all these, you know, the Titans book and, or, You had mentioned earlier about people not naturally being salespeople, right? And I can't help but think about that classic business book, The E-Myth, you know, about how a mechanic shouldn't necessarily own his own automotive repair center, right? Or how an electrician shouldn't automatically own his own electrical repair business, because he might be super great at fixing electrical, but he's probably super horrible at bookkeeping and sales and online advertising. And then you come along with TaskOn, and what I like about your proposition is that middle person thing, right? Now I'm not an electrician having to teach somebody how to do bookkeeping. I just pass the bookkeeping on, which I think is like, that's pretty cool.
Absolutely. I mean, that's really, I think, our differentiator in the market. I mean, there's a lot of virtual assistant providers in the market. There's a lot of competition. And, you know, I've been trying to steer away from saying virtual assistant, because like you mentioned, it is so much more than that. However, virtual assistant is what people are familiar with. So you just kind of have to use that terminology at times. But you're right. I mean, there is a level of communication that needs to happen. Like, we need to understand, okay, you know, what system are you using? What, you know, expense categories do you think you need? You know, some of the basic stuff. But the electrician isn't going to have to train the person on how to use QuickBooks or, you know, any of that technical stuff, because we already know how to do it. So it's more, you know, really the only training is training us on the specifics of your business and what makes you unique. And so that we can understand, you know, how to honor that through the services that we provide.
Yeah. And so I'm going to take this question one level deeper. And I'm thinking about startups. I'm thinking about newer businesses. And so someone reaches out to you and they're like, well, I need help with my bookkeeping, right? I'm imagining a process, but I want to give you the opportunity to answer this. Like, do you do a needs assessment with that business and then all of a sudden find out that this turns into a consultation about how business should really be run rather than let me take this task from you?
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. And I think, so there's a couple of things. Yeah, we do a needs assessment. So we have a survey where we go through all of the different functions within a typical company and just kind of ask questions like, what are you doing from an HR perspective? If you have employees, what are you doing from a sales perspective? What are you doing technology wise? And that just helps us, do two things. One, a lot of times I have to draw the work out of a client because they know they need work done. They just don't know what specifically it is. And so that process helps us kind of draw the needs out so that we can then help them get going. But you're right. A lot of times it is us providing best practices and recommendations based on our experience and other clients that we worked with. But we do have to be careful about, in certain areas, being clear that we're not accountants, we're not lawyers. And so whenever it does get to a certain level of compliance, then we do have to draw the line a little bit and recommend that they receive actual advice from a licensed CPA, because unfortunately, that's not a part of our service. But there's a lot of ground to cover before you even get to that point.
Yeah. It's, you know, you mentioned the pandemic. I mentioned the pandemic a lot. For me, I left corporate America right before the pandemic. I mean, weeks before the pandemic came out, I got laid off and I was like, I'm free. And I was like, you know, opportunity abounds. This is going to be awesome. And then, you know, a month later, nobody was hiring and everything was shutting down. And I was like, ooh, that timing was bad. But it really helped me relaunch Mañana No Más and get me where I wanted to go. So, you know, it's like curse and blessings kind of thing, right? Like, okay, so it didn't go the way I wanted to, but I go mountain biking when I want, my rent's still paid. Like, things are just working out, right? Things just seem to happen. But I see in all these layoffs and I see just people hitting this entrepreneurial path, speakers, authors, coaches, consultants, like all these people, especially from the tech industry, are just starting. So that's helping my business. This is actually a good thing for me. It's probably a great thing for you. It's people are hitting the ground. Like, someone gets laid off from Twitter, they can't find a job right away because PayPal, Google, and Facebook all laid off too, right? So it's like, nothing's out there for these folks. And they're like, well, I'll be a consultant. I'll do this, I'll do that. And I'm getting web work out of it. And I assume this is an opportunity for you, because some solopreneur working out of their basement or their garage or their second bedroom is going, okay, I want to put content in a website and I want to promote my consulting services, but I don't know what to do after that.
Absolutely. Sorry.
It's all right.
We'll drop that one. No, 100%. So, and what's interesting about that particular vertical is all of the coaches and the consultants and the professional services type organizations, they all have the same administrative needs as well. You know, they probably need to create some sort of collateral that they can use with their clients. So we can create all of those business overviews and intake forms or whatever it is that they need from a document perspective. They all want to be on social media and making sure, you know, expanding their reach and making sure that they're posting regularly. There's a lot of technology that can help enable what they're doing. So maybe it's an email marketing tool like MailChimp or Constant Contact that they want to get a newsletter out to potential clients. You know, there's a lot of stuff that I'm sure that they, from my own experience, didn't realize was going to come along with owning a business. Because even though they're a solopreneur, and I always, a friend of mine told me this, it's, you're not a freelancer, you're a small business owner. And there's a difference. And once you start to look at yourself as a small business, as opposed to just a freelance consultant, well, then you open a lot of doors for yourself. But whenever you do make that leap, well, that means that there are additional responsibilities that you have to take on. And you're absolutely right. I mean, that's where we fit in, is we can step in pretty much day one and start adding value yet again, so they can focus on what matters to them.
Yeah, it's like the easy way is to have a Calendly link and let that be your scheduler. But the classy way is to have an appointment setter and a human being that makes phone calls and human touches and sets things up and gets like, hey, what are the top three things that you want your consultant to discuss with you on the call, right? Yeah, it's just next level stuff. So at what level do you want to launch or jump into, you know, small business ownership, I suppose?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a journey for most, you know. I mean, there is value in learning how to do a lot of this stuff yourself. And I recommend that just because it helps keep you connected to the nuts and bolts of your company. But there does come a point where there's diminishing returns and it makes sense to delegate the things that you're just not best at.
Yeah. So just a couple more questions and then, you know, I'll do my best to honor your time because you were gracious enough to join me today. But I'm interested, as you started TaskOn, what was like a big obstacle for you? Like, what was the biggest challenge of getting launched and doing it?
Yeah. My favorite question. And this is, I mean, I have sought more counsel on this question than any other part of it. And for me, it was sales. You know, my whole background was operations. It's like, okay, we have the challenge in front of us. We just have to figure it out and we just have to do it. Sales was a completely different animal, or so I thought whenever I started. As I've learned more about sales, what I've learned is it is actually a process. And so there are a lot of my strengths that I have been able to use in the sales process. Okay, you just need to do X amount of cold emails to get X amount of demos, to get X amount of proposals, you know? And so once I started thinking about it that way, that, oh, sales is just a process, that then freed me up to focus on what I did actually need to enhance, which was my communication skills or my actual, you know, like sales, you know, negotiation, yeah, all of that stuff, 100%. But and then, like I said, once, you know, once you know, it's just an iterative process. You learn, oh, it's just a process. I put the process in place. I realized I didn't like cold calls, so I hired somebody to do the cold calls. That then freed me up to only do the problem solving on the initial consultation, then the closings. And then now I'm working within my strengths. And so now I'm much more effective than trying to do all of these other things that really weren't in line with my true gifts.
So it's important that we share those kinds of things, you know, especially on these in this environment, right, where we're having conversations and people are listening in. I really like letting people understand and know it's okay to not have it all handled, you know. I too struggled with sales. Everyone thinks I'm this gregarious, outgoing, you know, crazy person. And if it's a warm intro and we're in a sales call, they're buying something, you know, like I'm pretty good in the battle. As long as it's a use case that matches, right? I have enough emotional intelligence and logical intelligence to go, oh, this is a poor fit. Well, I'm not even going to sell. But if it's a good fit and I know they're going to turn profit from using me, then we're going to have that conversation. But the thing is, man, that cold call, that call in a business and going, hi, my name is Kurt. Can I speak to your business decision maker today? Man, I hate it. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, when we do the things we don't like, our emotional intelligence takes a hit, and then physically we start to fizzle. Like if I try to force myself to do something that's against my nature, I'm instantly exhausted. Like I need a nap. Either that, or I just want to crack a beer at noon, you know? And that's not the way to grow business. I need to be awake, up, anxious. I want to, not anxious from a fear point, but anxious like excited, like. I need to want to do this every day. And if I force myself to do the things I don't excel at, it drains the whole package, not just those items I'm not good at. It reduces the efficiency of everything.
And let me just add on at the end, because this is the second biggest challenge, which is that then bleeds over into family life and other things that really are, for me, the most important aspect of all of this. And so that's a component that I think people ignore a lot, is that, oh, I'm a successful business person, you know, look at me, whenever your family and your personal life has taken the hit because of all of sacrifices that you have to make. And that was something that did happen to me for a period of time, you know. And then you have to kind of take a step back and reevaluate what's important here. Family's important for sure. So what do I need to do in my business life to protect that other side of me?
100%. 100%. People think we're full of it when we talk like that. I know that there's a lot of people out there that think, oh, they don't really believe that. My last year working with Ducati North America, and I love the brand. I mean, I bleed red, dude. You cut me. I love Italian motorcycles. But my last year working with that company, I traveled 210 days out of the year and was still obligated to be in the office if it was an office day and I was local. So that whole year, I barely saw my family. And when I would be at home, that head of the household, that leadership role, it had evaporated to where I would tell the kids to do something and they would go double check with mom first, you know? And my kids were small, tiny. And I was watching this and I said, this is not healthy. And then I became not healthy. I started gaining weight. My mental attitude went down. I mean, it just spiraled. And it's, you have to, when you're self-employed, you can't blame the boss for everything that goes wrong because you are the boss, right? And so if you schedule yourself for 210 days of travel plus office time, that's your own dang fault. And you know, you got to really protect, you got to really, it's a, such an all-encompassing thing. You got to protect all of it. I don't know if you listened to the interview I did with David Valentine, but David Valentine now owns, you know, eight businesses. He's, you know, thriving. I don't even know how much money he has, but he's higher up the food chain than we are. And but when he was younger, you know, 15, 20 years ago, his doctor pulled him aside and said, "You are the most stressed client I have in the practice. You know, you've got to make some changes to your lifestyle." And he completely changed his lifestyle and then continued to grow business with the time that was left over. And you know, over time it's grown.
It's so true. Yeah. And I wish, well, I don't know. I was going to say, I wish I would have learned it sooner, but you know, it's my journey and I'm just happy that I've learned it now before it is too late. And all of a sudden it's 20 years down the road and you're looking back thinking, wow, I really sacrificed a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of done with the, I wish I would have done it different thing myself, because to your point, I mean, I'm 56 now. I look at leaders like John Maxwell, like Tony Robbins, like all these guys that do the speaking. I want to be a speaker like that. But those life experiences are what adds the value to the people that come. I worked with young adults at our church for a while, and it was funny because, you know, these kids, these 21, 22, 23-year-olds, they're going through some life stuff. And sometimes they're almost embarrassed to say, well, I've had this challenge or I've had this obstacle. And you just look at them and go, dude, you're not, don't be ashamed to tell me. Like, I'll tell you, I did worse. Don't worry about it, you know? And having that checkered past or those obstacles, they make us so much stronger to help others down the road that in the end, it's a blessing. It's just hard to go through it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, I'm looking at the time and I let it go too long. I apologize. I'm thrilled you spent the time with us. I hope the listeners and viewers, because this is video and audio, I hope the listeners and viewers really found some value in today's talk. If anyone needs any kind of help with their business or, peeling off layers of that onion to try and give some duties away, I encourage you to reach out to Nick. But Nick, what's the best way for people to reach you, or what's your preferred method of communication?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you can always go to our website, getyourtaskon.com. And from there, you can schedule a consultation or get our contact information. And then if you just want to reach out directly, it's nick@getyourtaskon.com.
Nice, nice. And then I just want to be fully transparent in how we met. We met through LinkedIn, right? We exchanged a couple LinkedIn messages. Nick was good enough to get on a kind of a discovery icebreaker call with me. And folks, just spending a little bit of time with Nick, I was like, dude, you need to be on the show. Like, we need to talk about this and flesh this out for people. We do a lot of talking on this podcast about leadership and some things about business and entrepreneurship and stuff like that. And this topic fits so well in kind of that Venn diagram of topics, right? So it's like, what's it look like to be an entrepreneur? What's it like to be a corporate executive? What's it like to be, chasing leadership? And where all three of those circles come together is Nick Lutrick and Taskon. So I think this was a really good fit, man. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. And I thank you again, Kurt, for the opportunity. This was really great.
No worries, man. Folks, we will catch you on the next episode of the Mañana No Más podcast. Follow us on YouTube. And of course, anything that's Mañana No Más online is typically us, because we branded the crap out of it. All right. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.